to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, so let's have a word of prayer. Amen. We thank you, God, for this new day with which you have blessed us, and ask your blessing during this hour. We come to praise your holy, good name, precious Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And especially if you're a first-time visitor, but we want all visitors to fill out the welcome card. There are welcome cards in the pews. We want to recognize you and make sure you feel welcome and a part of the church. We're so glad to have you worshiping with us today. Glad you're here. And we have a tradition to start our service to greet one another with the peace of Christ, which we say, peace be with you, and the person responds, and also with you. And we try to cover everybody in the whole sanctuary, because we can do that. Yeah. We can do that. So let's pass the peace of Christ.
Peace.
Peace be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Tony. Peace be with you, Jim. Glad you're here. Carol, glad you're here.
There we go. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. My name is Robin Stowers, and I am just honored and humbled to be with you this morning. I just want to make mention that what are we missing this morning? It's so quiet in here.
George.
Okay. Well, this is not our normal, typical Sunday. We are missing George this morning. Happy to see you here, Miss Penny. Did he take the boys somewhere? Oh, one. He's being a good grandpa. Well, I want to thank Andy this morning for that beautiful introit and that guitar. Thank
that
you,
guitar.
Andy. Nice to have Jacob home for a weekend before he goes back to college. We're happy and pleased that he's here. Anyway, I'm just happy you guys are here this morning. I hope you guys are ready to worship. Did you bring your worship this morning?
Yes.
All right. That's wonderful. Okay. Well, real quick, let's just go over a few announcements. You know, we have been collecting backpacks. And, well, here's a little note from Myra. The money and the school supplies coming in have been great. But please, no more backpacks. Okay, because they have 10 of the backpacks partially filled, and they do have 20 empty backpacks. Wow. So let's not do any more backpacks, but Ira has wrote out a nice list of things that we do need. Anyway, we need stuff to fill our backpacks. We need headphones, earbuds, scissors, and then there's another list. The last day that she would like to receive the school supplies will be this coming Wednesday, which is August 9th, and she will be up here at the church filling the rest of those backpacks. So if you guys don't have anything to do, come on down and help fill a backpack. And then she will be taking them to W.E. Cherry. The orientation is August 11th, and school starts the 15th. So praise God for everything that you have done in this ministry.
Amen.
Is that a salty service card or not?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, good. If you are visiting, please fill out the welcome card so that we can just get to know you. And don't forget your prayer request or praise announcements that you would like to acknowledge. And if you have been filling the backpacks or contributing to that ministry, put your salty service cards in, okay? All right. Let's see. I think, Larry, I heard that the community in the church is going to start a Sunday night, once a month, dinner and a praise service. How's that sound? Does that sound good? It does, because it's not going to cost you a thing except for your presence here and a love donation. So I think Larry wants to say a little bit about that.
Just as a reminder, yes, next Sunday, 5 o'clock, we are having a community supper. It's open to anybody in the community. I'd like to see a huge attendance. Afterwards, we're going to have a praise time. It's not going to be a service. It's going to be a time to offer praise to God. Amen. For things that are happening in your life. We will have somebody giving a testimony. But we want to start praising God for all that's going on in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
So bringing the community together.
Are you cooking for us?
Yes, I am.
All right.
So, you know, all you have to do is come out. You don't have to cook. You don't have to wash a dish. And, you know, there is a song that hopefully the choir will be singing called Testify. We are called to testify. And so God bless that person who's going to be here Sunday night to give their testimony.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Do we have any other announcements? Then let us turn to the back of our worship bulletin for our opening words. Come, all who are hungry and thirsty.
The Lord will provide for our needs.
Come this day to the table of the Lord.
Here we will find welcome and sustenance.
Come to this time of
Lord, we come with open hearts and spirits to receive your gracious gift of love.
If you would please stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing Trading My Sorrows.
Trading my sorrows.
Please be seated.
Will the children come forward for our children's moment? Before we get started, Megan wants to say something about camp. Last week she wasn't here because of the rain, and so we need to give her an opportunity. Last week we heard from Bradley and John about camp, and now we're going to ask Megan about camp. Tell us what you enjoyed most about camp, Megan.
Praising God and praise time and doing skills.
Uh-huh. What skill did you do?
Yoga.
Yoga. All right. That's great, Megan. Anything else you want to tell us about camp? You liked praise time?
I made 8 friends.
And what?
Made 8 friends.
Oh, she made 8 friends. Yay. Thank you, Megan. Thanks so much. Now, I have to have a promise from you guys, because I'm going to talk about something that I'm sure that all of you have done, but you have to make me a promise that you won't do it right here, right now. They're what? Oh, okay, JT. Now, do you make that promise? Okay, Bradley, you have to make me that promise. What I'm going to talk to you about, you won't do right here, right now. Can you promise that? He wants to know, Zachary, you have to promise me too. Can you promise me that you won't do what I'm going to talk about? We're just going to talk about it. And JT, you have to promise too, okay? You have to promise me that you won't wrestle right here in church. Right here in church. I bet you do wrestling at home, though. Don't you wrestle with your siblings at home and have a good tussle with them? Do you? What, Zachary? Yeah. They play water wrestling in the pool. That's a great example of wrestling. That's what I wanted to talk about, examples. Yes. Oh, well, you'll learn how to swim. Because it's pretty deep. Well, you'll learn, JT. You'll learn how to swim. I promise you. We're going to hear a story today in the Bible about a man who wrestled with God. What do you think about that, wrestling with God? What? Are you looking at me like, why would God wrestle with you? What do you think we wrestle with God about? I see that. I see that, JT. Thank you. JT has lots of things to tell me. Your tooth is wiggly. Ow, ow, be careful. Okay, be careful. We're going to talk about a man who wrestles with God today. And one of the things that we take away from that is that God is willing to get in our lives and meet us where we are. God is willing to come to us. And even when we struggle, God doesn't let us go. Yes, we hang on to God, and God is there. And we are so grateful to God that He is a God that comes to us where we are. And that's what wrestling is. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, for these children and pray your blessing upon them, that they may grow in your truth and strength. And we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now you may have some candy. Take one. This is a serious decision we're having here. You're welcome. Okay, there you go. You got it. You're welcome. And we continue to worship and serve this morning through the giving of our gifts. If I could invite the ushers to please come forward. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we do thank you for the many good gifts that you provide for us every single day. We praise you and thank you and ask that you would use us as we bring these gifts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
George has taken his grandkids back, and so Miss Penny is going to play the piano for us this morning.
You wish he didn't, right?
No, she was just kidding, so she's not going to.
Power, Lord,
struggling with a little bit of a frog in my throat, and I was wondering if I could get Lloyd to get me some water that's in the refrigerator in the kitchen and bring it up to me. I appreciate that. I want us to turn to page 7 and 8 in our Methodist hymnals to make the invitation and confession before receiving our gift from God in the form of the elements. At the bottom of page 7 is the invitation, and this invitation is for all. It says, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. That means you don't have to be a member of this church. Thank you, sir. You don't have to be a Methodist. You just need to want to have more of God, more of Jesus in your life. And so, we who love him, repent of our sin, and, it says, we seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, we confess our sin before God and one another. If you would turn the page, we will unite together in the confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are
forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Our scripture this morning will be coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 32, I believe. 31. Aha. Okay. That same night he got up, took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I want to thank Robin for her leadership as a liturgist. You can tell when she reads Scripture how much she loves it. It comes from deep within her. Our reading from Genesis this morning betrays one of the most popular sayings, if you will, or a lie, if you will, that of our culture. One of the sayings of our culture that we've all been told and that we've said to others. And we know it's false. It goes like this. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us. Most of us have learned over the years that names do hurt, whether they're names that we've been called by others or those that we have called ourselves. And we do some of the worst damage we can do to ourselves when we call names of ourselves. These names exaggerate our inadequacies, or they herald our failures. They expose our weaknesses or pay tribute to bad decisions. We carry these names on our backs like a snail carries his shell, dragging them with us wherever we go. So names do hurt. This is what Jacob runs into at the bridge at the river Jabbok. His hopes and his fears, his dreams, his nightmares. His past is about to catch up with him. And it's a strange little story. He's beside the river after sending his family over. We'll talk about that in a minute. And what seems like maybe a demon or a monster wrestles with Jacob. And toward the morning, he says, "You have to let me go." His strength ebbs toward morning. These are the kinds of turning points that we hear in the lives of heroes. But Jacob is not one of those heroes. In fact, he's been pretty much a scoundrel his whole life. He swindled his brother out of his birthright and then cheated him of his blessing. Jacob had to flee his home and his brother who were out to get him. And then for the next 15 years or so, he went head to head with his uncle Laban, double dealing over everything from his wives to livestock, until he is again, once again, on the run. This time, he's carrying with him all his family, his servants, and everything that he can carry with his bare hands. And that's where today's reading picks up in the life of Jacob. He has just received the news that his brother Esau is coming to meet him with an army of 400 men. So Jacob is terrified. True to his nature, however, he sends gifts ahead of him to bribe his brother. And after that, he sends his wife and his children first, so that even if his brother can't be bribed, maybe he will take pity on him. And then with everybody across the river, he's by himself, contemplating his dicey future and what will behold him when he crosses the river. And that's when it happens. This, he is set upon by what must seem like a demon. They struggle all night, wrestling, until the sun comes up and the creature's strength ebbs. And he reaches out and dislocates Jacob's hip. And then Jacob knows that he's dealing with something supernatural here. And so he asks the creature for a blessing. Now, Jacob's opponent demands to know Jacob's name before he will bless him. Now, you may not know this, but names in the ancient world are never simply names. They are descriptors of one's character. And Jacob's name literally means heel. He was a heel of a man. He was the one grasping at his twin brother's heel as they were being born. And in his life, he has been grasping ever since, living on his wits and his cunning, trusting no one and proving himself untrustworthy. So when the demon, who turns out to be the Lord, demands that Jacob confess his name, it means he must confess his checkered past, his fears and failures, his shifty arrangements and dubious interactions. He is asking Jacob to confess and to die. For nothing is more terrifying to Jacob than having to come clean, to fess up, if you will, to confess who he has been his entire life. But once he does, an extraordinary thing takes place. The Lord refuses to accept Jacob's confession as the end of the story. He refuses to allow that Jacob's name is all that there is to him. In fact, what the Lord does is give Jacob a new name. The name of Israel, the one who wrestled with God and humans and prevailed. With this new name, Jacob enters into a new future and passes his name and his faith and his future to his descendants who bear that name to this day, Israel. It's kind of a strange story. What are we to make of that for us? I think there's a profound connection to a part of our story, too, when we gathered by water and were given through water and the words a new name at our baptism. We were given the name of Christ. It's where the word christening comes from. Before we use that word to name ships or anything else, it described literally that we were Christ-ened. We were christened. Given the name of Christ and God's promise to regard us as Christ. But the challenge before us is to confess those names we've been called, to confess those names we've actually lived, the names we call ourselves, the names that haunt us and pursue us. We are called to share our fears and our failures, our setbacks and our disappointments, our resentments and regrets. We are called to confess so that we might hear God's response, which is, this is not the whole story. You are more than you know. To me, you are Christ. In baptism, you have God's promise to regard you as God's own beloved children, even as God's only beloved child. That is what we are. That is who we are. And so after we have died in our confession, we are raised to new life as God names us anew and calls us to life abundant. Names do hurt, and sometimes they hurt a lot. But names can also heal and raise us to new life. The truth about who and what Jacob is and who and what we are is that we're scoundrels. But there's a second truth, a bigger truth, a second truth that creates an open future for us and girds us with the hope and courage to embrace it. Whatever other names we may have collected through the years, our primary name is Christian. Now, go and live it. Amen and amen. We celebrate when we come to the table a sacrament of Holy Communion, and Jesus instituted this sacrament to do repeatedly. And many places, as you know, do it every week. And at the early service, we do communion every week. And at this service, we do it once a month. But we repeat it. Because Jesus instituted it and said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Baptism, on the other hand, also a sacrament, is done once for us in the Methodist Church. And it's done once because, as far as we know, Jesus was only baptized once. And we feel that it is our adoption. It's God claiming us as his own. We have to respond. We have to grow into that. If we were baptized as children, we have to grow into that and accept that for ourselves, accept Jesus for ourselves. But even if you don't remember it because you were too young to remember it, it never, in our mind, loses its efficacy because you are God's beloved child. God has claimed you. God says yes to you and given you a new name. As God's own beloved. So this morning we are going to come to the table of our Lord and confess our sins. And as we rise from the table, we also rise to new life, reclaiming the name of Christian. Jesus shared the last meal with his disciples on the last night of his life. And his disciples had no clue what was going to happen. They must have been a little baffled when he took a piece of the bread. But he gave thanks and blessed it. And then he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me and be thankful." He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful." The body and blood of Christ are God's gifts to us to strengthen, to nourish, to sustain, to encourage us, and to raise us to new life, to remind us of our baptism. We will serve the choir first. And then the ushers will lead you to kneel and come to this table. And if you are not able to come, we will bring it to you. And as I said before, this is not a Methodist table or my table. I will not hold you back from coming, because this is God's table. And it is for you and for me. Will you come now to receive the good gifts of God?
Thank you.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing The Heart of Worship. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply call. Long time, down, down. All right. Thank you very much. We just want to see who was paying attention. Thank you, Robin. So number 132, Here I Am to Worship. Well, you caught the first part of a really good song there, just so you know.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made biggest heart adore you. Hope of a life left in you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all kings, oh so highly exalted.
Here, you know, we enjoy ourselves, but we also like to worship. Amen. And that's what we're here for. And we hope you go into this world now having been filled with the Spirit, that God may rest and abide in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As you leave this place, go in His peace. Amen. Amen.
God bless y'all. Have a wonderful day. And don't forget to use your turn signals while you're doing it.
Do it before you...